B-Pod Studios.
They were
matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What are you seeing when you watch the Patriots play?
I don't see a team. I don't see guys who hang out. And I think it's probably due to the COVID situation. They missed, 2 weeks in the building together, and then they had to come out and just play a game. It's super hard to do that. You can't. It's close to impossible. I don't know how Tennessee did it. I think they did it on energy alone.
Keep to leave with Toucher and Rich this morning here on the Sports Hub. Again, with these former player interviews, you former players, when you're just out of the game, you never want to actually say something.
What's the matter with you?
So, okay, just to spin back your comment, Akib, Tennessee did it on energy. That means the Patriots didn't have energy, based on your words. Now, they did it on energy alone. Why couldn't the Patriots do that? Oh, but they didn't have energy.
Mm.
Oh, okay. Mm. So that's not something to sit there and talk about? Whatever.
You want to hear what he said about McDaniels?
You're better off talking to Akib Talib about strip clubs and all that fun stuff.
He had some good stuff on McDaniels, though.
What'd he say? Do we have that?
Sure.
Akib, do you think Josh McDaniels could be a good NFL coach now? Head coach.
I do. I think if he got with the right quarterback and he did his thing, he did his part. His part is running offense. I think if he did his part and he had the right glue guys around him, I think it's possible.
That doesn't sound like a resounding, that doesn't exactly jump off the page. I mean, you're saying in the right situation. If you had a chance, if you had an opening, if you bought a team, which you have the finances to do, well, we all know that. But if you bought a team, would Josh McDaniels be one of your top choices as a head coach?
He'd be one of my top choices as an offensive coordinator.
Pretty honest there.
Yeah, after you keep pressing him.
But
after Fred had to keep pressing him to get the real answer.
But that's a guy who lived it. That guy had Wade Phillips as his sort of head coach, defense coordinator, and Peyton had McCoy, and they ran their own stuff. Like, they were split, that team that won a Super Bowl.
That's a good job. Good job by the interviewer.
Yeah.
Get a real answer there.
Yeah.
After, 2 minutes.
Are you being critical of Fred there for the beginning, huh?
No, I'm being... No, I just said good job
him.
By the
yeah.
interviewer.
Yeah.
Fred is the interviewer, so that
Correct.
Was not critical of Fred. That was critical of the person being interviewed.
Okay.
No.
Gotcha.
Fred and Rich do a great job with that interview.
I love those guys on that interview.
Yes. 617-779-0985 is the phone number if you want to jump on board. We get this final segment here with Bert Breer.
Can I ask Bert a question?
Yeah, of course.
How's it going in Dallas, Bert?
Not good.
Tapped in down there, Bert?
What's crazy about it?
Hope in sight, though. That's the thing.
The reason that they hired Mike McCarthy, the specific reason, and it was the same reason they kicked the tires on Ron Rivera, they interviewed Marvin Lewis, was this messaging was very clear. We can't take a chance on a coordinator. We can't take a chance on a college coach. We believe in the core that we have and all those guys they paid, from Zach Martin to Tyron Smith to Amari Cooper to Zeke Elliott to DeMarcus Lawrence to Jalen Smith. Like, they believe that core is championship level. And I don't totally disagree with that, but the idea was we need to have a coach in here who's going to be ready to win right now. So what happens when he's not even giving you that? Like if you brought the guy in for immediate results, what happens when he's not even giving you that? Like, it's a mess down there. And, Jerry's never had a one and done coach, and only one coach didn't make it at least 3 years there.
So you think it's all McCarthy?
I just say this, though. A lot of the issues he had in Green Bay are getting repeated now, which tells me he hasn't fixed his problems.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know what I mean?
No kidding.
And that's such a huge part of being, if you look, there are certain guys where you can tell, Rex Ryan in Buffalo, all the same stuff that happened in New York was happening in Buffalo, right? Adam Gase, a lot of the stuff that happened at the end in Miami, started to happen right away in New York. And so, a lot of times, with a guy who's on his second chance, you can tell based on whether or not the same things are happening. And I feel like that's what it is, where the offense has gotten a little predictable. They needed Dak to bail them out early. Now they don't have Dak anymore. and then you've got like a locker room that's not really locked in. You've got like kind of negligence to the defensive side of the ball. It's like all the same problems.
So if he gets fired, will it be Kellen Moore or will it be Lincoln Riley?
I would think Lincoln Riley. I have to think like too, like that, like, and I don't know if they'll be able to get him out of Oklahoma, but I think that's where they would. I mean, Lincoln actually recruited Jerry's grandson. So there's a relationship there with the family. You know, I think like part of this too had to be on that Monday night, you know, that Monday night stage and everything else. Jerry looks across the field. What does he see? A guy who was hired out of college, who is from Texas, who develops quarterbacks, who's creative offensively, who's getting buy-in from his team. And that's Cliff Kingsbury. He has to think like I need to go get the upgraded version of that. And I think most people would say based on resume coming out of college, like Lincoln Riley is kind of a bigger version of Cliff Kingsbury.
Let's go to some of your calls with Jake in New Bedford up next. Hey, Jake.
Hey guys. So assuming the Cam Newton and Jared Stidham both don't work out, if the Jets end up getting the number one pick this year, obviously they're going to take Trevor Lawrence. So what do you guys think about possibly looking into Sam Darnold for next season?
I just don't know that they trade him here. You know what I mean? Like I think
he
I would definitely
be released.
Look. I would look at it. Yeah, I think he's going to be a good answer for someone somewhere. Like I think if I'm like the Steelers, right, and they've got Ben and he's older and everything else, would you flip the 25th pick in the draft? Let's just say that hypothetically. Ooh. For Sam Darnold. I would, right? Like, doesn't that make sense? Like something like that. So I think Sam Darnold can be the answer for somebody somewhere. And I
Jacksonville?
Think he's the answer for you here. I just don't know that the Jets would trade him here.
Highly doubt that they would. Be a very difficult one to pull off. But I'd be all for it.
I think if you want to come bring that full circle, I think the last time that actually happened where a franchise level quarterback got traded in division
Bledsoe.
Like that was
Bledsoe
to Buffalo.
Right. Yep. There it is.
By the way, we received an email. I got an email from William.
Oh, hi, Bill.
William in Madison, Wisconsin, checking in. He's got some history for us, Bert, if you'll want some old school football here.
Okay.
In 1973, the Philadelphia Eagles traded all-pro wideout Harold Jackson and two first-round picks for quarterback Roman Gabriel. That, of course, of the Rams. Gabriel, 32 at the time. He had one good season, one really good season in Philly, and then pretty much washed out after that.
Wow. How about that?
So there you go. 32-year-old quarterback on the move back in 1973.
Wow.
Just another example of
That's going way back.
Yeah. Good knowledge there. God. One that we would not have come up with.
Chris Palmer, all he did was talk about Roman Gabriel. Roman Gabriel. Roman Gabriel. Like, who the hell's Roman Gabriel? Oh, he's an old guy. Of course I didn't see him play. What the hell are you talking about him for?
Who was talking about him?
Chris Palmer, my old quarterback coach and head coach at Cleveland.
Former Browns
while.
Head coach, yeah.
Yeah.
Sean is in Dorchester. If we can get him potted up there. Hey, go ahead, Sean.
Hey, guys. Just a couple points on the trade deadline. I know you guys brought up Tooney, and I know Beadle, you don't want to trade him, which I get. So if they hung on to him, do you think they would look into trading Shaq Mason in the offseason and then retaining Tooney? And then, Bert, I got a question for you. I know you said that Gilmore wouldn't be able to net a one, but if it's a team that really thinks they have a chance to win this year, like Green Bay or I don't know, another team, maybe like Arizona, don't you think they would want to give up a one for the defensive player of the year to put them over the top?
I'm not totally ruling it out. And maybe a team with a low one does that. I'm just saying like history says that doesn't happen with players of that age. So it would surprise me. Like, I wouldn't rule anything out. Maybe somebody gets desperate and decides to do it, but there's just no history that says a player of that age. And again, it has nothing to do with how good a player he is. Players that age don't get traded for ones.
As far as it goes on Shaq Mason, I don't see the need to trade Shaq Mason at all. He signed up for 3 more years at very reasonable dollars, extremely reasonable dollars with his cap hits. Not the actual money out, but the cap hits are 9.7, 10.2, and 8.8 with the actual cash money to be paid over the next 3 years at 7, 7.5, and 8.5.
That could make him, you know what though, Beadle?
Like, it'd make him a great trade. It'd be awesome for another team to acquire him.
Like, he might be a good trade asset, yeah, because of how much you pay like offensive linemen on the market right now. And if you feel really good about Owenu, like maybe like he winds up being your long-term answer at the other guard position opposite Joe Tooney. It's not a horrible idea.
It's not a bad idea if you're looking, if you're in need of draft capital or you're able to flip him for a player that can impact your roster right away. I get that, but I'd rather they have the best possible offensive line. And
right.
And if Shaq Mason can be here for the next 3 years and he is 27 years old, it's not like he's into his 30s yet. You could have him and Tooney here and not need to trade either one. But you're right. For another team, it would be an attractive guy to trade for. I get that.
And especially, like, I'm with you on, like, building up the offensive line, especially if you're planning on bringing a young quarterback in here over the next year or two, which is, I mean, like, has to be on the table now. Like, if you look at the young quarterbacks who've had a lot of success, they all played behind, like, pretty great offensive lines.
Yes.
Like, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. And I'm not saying those guys, like, wouldn't have made it otherwise. Carson Wentz had a great offensive line early in his career. Like, those guys played behind awesome offensive lines early in their career, which I think is a huge part of why they were able to be as successful as they were as young players.
Yeah, I also think that this team probably has to rebuild their front seven and sort of on both sides of the ball up front for this thing to get off the ground again, to put it all back together. Just go back to the start of Bill Belichick in New England and some of the picks he was making high in the drafts, like Richard Seymour and Ty Warren and Vince Wilfork and Logan Mankins.
Yep.
All of that happening over the first 4 or 5 years, all in the first round.
They didn't miss on one.
So no, if you look at his first, they drafted defensive linemen and then offensive linemen.
Right.
And I think that was a good way of doing it. Those were cornerstone players in the early part of this team's dynasty.
Right. You know what was interesting too? Like, just, I think you saw the draft issue, that you saw the issue drafting with, like, kind of how attritions worked this year too. And I don't know, this stuck out to me on Sunday. Like, San Francisco, like, they've sort of become you. Like, if you watch them, like, right? And I asked Jimmy about this after the game, and he actually agreed with it. He said, like, does feel a lot like New England as far as managing injuries. Do you guys know how many people they were missing on Sunday? No Richard
Seven
Sherman.
On defense.
No Richard Sherman, no Nick Bosa, no Solomon Thomas, no D Ford, no Jimmy Ward. Like Jimmy's still not 100%. They had Kittle out for a while. They didn't have Jordan Reed. Their receivers have been in and out of the lineup. They didn't have Raheem Mostert on Sunday against the Patriots, and they still just ran you over. Like, it was almost like that was a striking thing about the game is the job that Kyle Shanahan and that whole operation they've done, managing attrition, managing injuries, like they haven't lost their identity whatsoever. And it just stuck out because the Patriots haven't been able to deal with those things as well as they have in the past.
All right, Bert, great to have you here again today. Appreciate your time as always.
See you, Bert.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, talk to you soon. Bert Breer from the MMQB with us. So we'll get back to your calls and also more on the World Series last night in a sign of 2020, the most 2020 thing ever. They had to pull a player off the field in the middle of the game because he had COVID. That happened last night, and Rob Manfred's night as well. We'll mix all this stuff in.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Coming up.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We start this show with some breaking news. After the completion of the game tonight, we were informed by Major League Baseball that Justin Turner received a positive COVID test. That's why he was removed from the game. We have no other details at this time. We'll continue, though, to report on this developing story. Obviously, we hope Turner's okay and that everyone else is okay that's been around Turner. But there you go.
You had about almost 2 months without a positive test. Describe to me how that happened today and the success of getting through this season.
Well, it's a bittersweet night for us. We're glad to be done. I do think it's a great accomplishment for our players to get this season completed. But obviously, we're concerned when any of our players test positive. We learned during the game that Justin was a positive. He was immediately isolated to prevent spread.
he okay? That's Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Baseball.
Yeah, I'm okay.
I'm not even asking that kiddingly. Is he okay?
No, it's just that Jay has positive.
He was trying to talk Italian to try to prevent the spread.
He was immediately isolated to prevent spread.
Is he hammered? Like, was he? Is that what maybe it is?
All right, here's what I thought.
I was just very tired.
What's going on with him?
What I thought,
he sounded messed up all night.
Lazy tongue.
What I thought initially is the interview's done and it's broadcast throughout the stadium, and you hear the blah 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 blah. And I've done that before at a speaking engagement. I like swallowed my tongue, and I'm like, I can't talk. I can't do this. Like you gotta muff my ears or something.
Right, if you hear yourself on a delay coming back, it can stop you dead in your tracks.
It can. I watched the video earlier. I think he had an earpiece in too.
That's, and he could be getting it back in his ear. That's the problem.
Yeah,
rip the earpiece out.
Because you're the commissioner of baseball, you're not really going to be hammered at your event.
I don't think it would make you sound like that. I mean, it might stop you, but it's. Oof. Is he all right?
Maybe be sung.
I mean, it could be the. Bouncing back at him, the earpiece, and drunk.
And drunk.
And just...
I mean, it's a hell of a year, and you got it all in, right? And you're like, okay, give me a scotch. And four fingers, baby. Give me four fingers.
That's what I was thinking. Finally, this thing is done. Season's over. We can all go home.
Maybe he started drinking when he got the news of Justin Turner's positive test. Somehow Justin Turner... tested positive.
Caught it during the game.
Caught it sliding into second. Don't touch that bag.
And they had to pull him from the game because he had an inconclusive test the day before. Jesus. Inconclusive. Positive.
Inconclusive.
Yeah. He had an inconclusive result the day before, and so they just sent him out there?
Yeah.
What?
Well, you weren't sure.
You got the score of the baseball game on that thing? Who won? Dodgers?
And then after the game, so in the second inning, the lab that does the COVID-19 tests for Major League Baseball, which, by the way, baseball bragged about how they had created this partnership with this lab. I think it's in Arizona, where they're going to process all their results. And remember back when they first came back, the speed of processing the results was a problem. They only have two teams left. Why is there a delay in testing results?
There wasn't a delay. They got the test in the game. What, do you want him before the game, before he actually plays?
How is it that you cannot get another test rapidly? If it's okay, there's an inconclusive result.
Yeah.
Go down the street to the local testing site and get another one. What are you talking about? Inconclusive result. It's unclear why the results of the test arrived after the start of the game, because they typically arrive before the start of the game.
I can make it clear for everyone.
So many teams playing.
He's the three hitter. That's why.
You should absolutely be suspicious of this in baseball or the Dodgers or somebody burying the result.
You're saying if he was batting ninth, maybe they would have had the results in a little more timely fashion?
Yes, they would have been there at 2 p.m.
If it was Austin Barnes, it would have been right in, right away. Yep.
So he gets pulled off the field. He is told he is positive for COVID. And they tell him he needs to go isolate. And instead, he puts on a surgical mask and comes back out after and celebrates the World Series with his team.
It is a World Series.
He didn't keep the mask on the whole time.
It is over.
He didn't want to make a spectacle of himself.
Like, we're not like going to be all like, oh, my God, the whole Dodgers team has it now. We're going to be like, oh, my God, they can't play the game. Now it's over. Like, hey, you're...
And I understand he was with his teammates all day.
His teammates wanted him there. Did you hear Betts?
Late in the game, which means if he was going to spread it, he could have already spread it to them. But once you know you have it, you should probably make an effort to not be near other people.
You're all world player.
It changes
Betts
a little bit once
we want him
know.
With us. We want him with us. He's ours. He's one of us. He'll be out there. We want him out there.
In game. Get off the field.
That would suck in face with his wife after, too.
Mm.
Wow. Pictures kissing. Hope that was his wife.
That's a little COVID between spouses.
I mean, isolate together. That's good 2 weeks right there.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't be sick of each other at all.
2 weeks of below deck.
Now we're all caught up.
Still, like, reruns. Real Housewives, Orange County. That'd be a long 2 weeks. Handmaid still.
You don't watch that.
I can't watch any of that. I watched.
We have more from Manfred after the game last night.
I hope so.
Anything more in that's in the system from last night, Jim?
Corey, you thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance.
He's hearing himself here.
You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory, and it's my pleasure to recognize your great play with the Willie Mays Most Valuable Player Award presented by Chevrolet.
He's too thought out, though. He would stumble more if he was overly hammered.
But, no, seriously. I love you. And if Millie Ways are here,
you'd get a hiccup or two in there. I'm sorry.
He gave you a Chevrolet, too.
I'm all for the hammered guy. I want to vote hammered here. Something's telling me he's not hammered.
I don't know what's going on.
Because I know exactly what I'm talking about. I know which award it is. It's the Willie Mays Award. It's sponsored by Chevrolet. I know, Corey, I'm giving it to you. I'm yelling because I can't hear myself over myself. He's trying to talk in here at the same time.
I mean, at some point, you're the commissioner of baseball. If something is throwing you off, if it's an earpiece, if it's just rip it out and say, you know what? I don't know if you guys can hear me or not, but hey, hell of a series. Great job. Here's a car. Congratulations.
That's why those musicians have those in, those double ones, you know, with the white cord hanging. They don't want to hear anything. Then when it goes awry, they rip it out. You rip your damn headset off. Mm. Yeah. Mm. You're on TV. You've done TV. You guys used to do TV.
Rip it out.
Someone's talking in your ear and you're trying to get somebody. I don't want to hear you talking in my ear. Rip it out.
Especially if you're hearing yourself back on a delay.
No. Yeah, you don't want to hear that.
You can't do it.
You can't do it. Like, I swallowed my tongue. I did it once. Swallowed my tongue.
To keep it going over multiple times on stage?
Yeah, you can't. He did. What are you going to do? People think he's hammered.
And why would he need an earpiece? That I don't understand either.
To cue him when it's time to go? I mean, isn't there a director down there? Isn't there a producer down there?
I can't ever recall seeing a commissioner with an earpiece in. I can't. But maybe that's the new norm.
Maybe he was awaiting the results of more COVID tests. Don't get too close to that guy.
Maybe he had COVID. Became lucid.
Brain fog.
Boo.
What is that?
Yeah.
What is going on with him? He got booed, by the way. There's something nice about the fact that he wanted 11,000 fans in there and all 11,000 booed his ass after the game.
Did you see Bob Nightingale's tweet on Mookie Betts and what he said about Snell after the game? He was asked about Snell when he got removed. He goes, oh my God, yes, it was a sigh of relief.
Yeah, Mookie said
that
it after the game.
That guy was dealing. He was in his Cy Young form. We were relieved they took him out.
He said they pretty much needed something, and that was the something they needed.
Double kick in the nuts.
Ugh. That's what they needed. They needed that to happen.
Good for the game.
Kevin Cash and the Rays.
Do they take into account the mental aspect of the other team?
Nope.
No, right?
Nope.
Just more comfortable. They're more comfortable because that guy's out of the game. There's no way to analyze that with analytics.
Tampa Red Sox will be that soon.
That's why you need a manager. That's why you need Cora back.
But Cora, you don't even stick up you for don't it. Need a manager in that situation. I mean, if one of the prerequisites for the job or your major prerequisite is just don't screw things up when they're going well, you don't need a brilliant baseball mind for that. Like, any one of us, anybody would see him pitching last night and would not have touched him.
It's his night.
You don't have to know anything about baseball to just leave him in.
Hardy, that's a guy who comes back to the bullpen, comes back to the dugout, sits down. Everybody, don't look at him. Don't talk to him.
Right.
It's his night.
5 2/3, 2 hits. Pull him. Get him out of there.
With the next 3 batters coming up, having struck out a combined 6 times already in the game.
The nerd.
No, they have their top 3 coming up. We don't want our best pitcher on the mound. We want a reliever on the mound.
Yeah, we got to go to the bullpen for that.
Nerd is the word. Give it to them.
Serious harm done to the game last night. We'll get back to your calls, I promise, with some open phone lines right now. If you want to grab them, we'll do that before we talk to Bruce Arena coming up at 12:50.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. It's he got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bruce Arena coming up at 12:50. Let's get to your calls right now. Football, baseball, all of the above. Lee is in Roslindale today. Good afternoon, Lee.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I know everyone wants to shoot down COVID as a reason because Cam had a bad game against the Raiders, but how has Gilmore looked since catching COVID? And one more thing. I'm a Cowboys fan, unfortunately. And last season, Zeke Elliott fumbled three times all season. This year, he catches COVID, and he's fumbled four times in six games. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep, blame COVID, just like everything else, 2020. All COVID's fault. Yep, but he's like, Cam's in fog because of COVID. How was he in that Raiders game? See that Raiders pick he threw?
Wasn't that the caller's point?
What
Lee said?
Well, I mean, I guess.
So you agree with the caller?
No, he said Zeke fumbled four times since he got COVID.
Yeah. That does seem to contradict the earlier point.
Yeah, COVID, I mean, that's the way.
Not to blame for Cam.
Right. By the way, have you seen Buffalo's new uniforms are rolling out for the throwbacks for the Pats
game? So. Why don't you show everyone on radio what they look like?
Well, I'm not. I retweeted Mike Giardi, who had it first. And you can follow me at Scott Zolak. Give me more followers. Yeah.
You gave it a retweet?
Yep. Gave it a retweet.
Let's see it.
Gorgeous.
Oh, I got to watch a video?
Look how nice.
Come on,
look at that helmet. Look at the
waste
helmet.
Waste my time.
Come on, so.
Look at the helmet.
You can't even see them. They're not even out. They're hanging in a locker. Worst video ever.
At what point do we get to see the entire video?
The worst video ever.
What are we doing here?
Create something.
I can't.
Are they wearing the white one or the blue one? They're showing both uniforms here.
They're wearing a blue. Blue
how
for
do you
home.
Know?
Pats Road. Pats are the road team. Wear the white. We've always worn white up in Buffalo.
Whatever.
Oh, yeah. Jim likes them.
Is there anything special about these uniforms that we should know
about?
Yeah,
it's like the Jim Kelly throwback ones. Yeah, these are their old uniforms.
It's a gorgeous throwback? They don't wear these typically?
No. They have the one with the wider stripe down the helmet. Oh, no. This is different. Much different.
Yeah, but they can't go back to the blue helmet, which...
No blue helmet. They're gonna wear the white helmet.
They're wearing the helmet they wear every week.
They can't wear a different colored helmet.
No, I know, but that would make it a lot better.
Oh, my God, yeah.
With the red face mask?
Oh, you're right.
So, can someone explain to me what the special part of this uniform is?
Nice jersey and pants.
Remembering back to his days in the 90s. Okay, that's the special
part. I see that. I think of Thurman Thomas.
But this is the uniform they wear now.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, it is.
No, helmet's different. Striping's different. Numbers are different. Socks are different. They got the
so
old,
have you seen Buffalo?
It's like the old Miami. The
I just
old Miami
pulled up
uniform.
Like a million photos of them wearing this uniform.
Okay. Let's see.
They wear it every week.
All right. We'll take some pictures this weekend and we'll take some pictures from other weeks. We'll
double on Monday. Worst tweet ever.
Okay. Never mind.
Who'd the Bills play last time they were home? Were they home last weekend?
Nope, they were at the Jets.
They were at the Jets.
Yeah. They had Chiefs.
Played the Chiefs at home.
Okay. That might have been different. That was that a Monday night or that was a
Monday?
That
night.
Was a
Monday 5 o'clock.
Ugh, love that.
They wore the all blue, which is their color rush. Their third uniform. They have three uniforms. Okay. That's their third one. Must be the primetime game uniform. But I believe their regular. They have three uniforms. One is the blue pants, the white shirt. One is all blue, and then it's flipped on the
blue
on
pants,
the road ones.
But white pants, blue shirt. Looks sharp. Just looks sharp. Sharp uniform.
Now you know who to root for.
Well, you know, we know he's picking them already on Friday. He said, let's do the picks right now on Monday. 3.5 was the line. What is it now? You want me to check that for you?
Yeah, check the line.
Check the line for you right now. Maybe you can make a pick in advance. Let everyone know they can get their early wagers in this week. Vegas odds right now. 3.5 most places.
Hasn't moved. People like the Pats.
3.5 where we put ours in. Oof. 42.5 is the over-under.
Oh, that's going under.
Zoe likes Buffalo in the under this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? It's going over.
He likes Buffalo in the over.
What's my record?
Chiefs are 19.5 point favorites against the Jets.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
That it opened in plus 20, though. 20.5, I think.
Tom and Newton. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, hey, guys. I just want to lean on the Patriots.
Tom Leahy? Kind of,
not quite, but, we'll see. I've been kind of frustrated lately with some of I've been frustrated more than anything else with the way the team has been playing, obviously. But some of the media around the team, like I know the Afternoon Show does this. Guys on Twitter are kind of putting out there, like, these still photo, you know, all 22s of guys Cam's not seeing. Like, yeah, Cam's been bad. Like, the team has been bad. It's got problems. But I feel like some of that stuff's obvious. I mean, I think the conversation we should be having is how we got here. I mean, did you guys like seeing, you know, N'Keal Harry and Deebo Samuel on Sunday? I mean, have you seen what DK Metcalf's been doing? Like, the real conversation, love Bill Belichick, respect him, think he's a great coach. But Bill, the GM, over the last few years, some of these drafts where they've got nothing, some of these trades. You know, I saw a picture on Sunday, you know, after the game of you know, Brady and Jimmy and Jacoby running out on the field. Like, you know, like, that's what we had. Like, the way this thing's been managed over the last few years, like, that's how we got here. Like, I feel like that's what the conversation ought to be. So it's just kind
of. So we're not doing that enough? Or you're not hearing it here on our program? Would you take DK Metcalf or Deebo Samuel over N'Keal Harry? I would.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've been quite clear they misfired on that one.
How's Jacoby Brissett doing this season, by the way?
Doesn't really matter. He's getting pizzed. Cha-ching.
Just wondering.
That dude's made $30 million in 3 years. Woo! Ow! Woo! They had to pay him 21, 22 when he was starting. Oh! Ah! Then they paid Hoyer $12 million. Ah!
They wasted a lot of money there on mediocre.
Colts love your old quarterbacks, yeah.
They love it there.
Mm. And they'll pay him. Yeah.
Listen, they're both part of the conversation.
Bring him here.
Tom, they're
fired
both.
Fired up.
They're both in the mix. There's no one conversation to be had. David's in Florida. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
I can.
Cool. Just wanted to piggyback on the manager discussion thing. I mean, maybe for Tampa Bay, it went the wrong direction, but Snell, in the latter half of innings, I looked at a stat last night, and he had a way higher ERA from the fifth inning on. I know he was playing great last night. He was unhittable.
So then let the iPad do the managing. Let the iPad just pull him out of the game they did last night.
Let me just say this, and you guys take it. How about Dave Roberts having guts in Game 7 NLCS, not using Kershaw, not using Jansen at all? He gave him one more chance in Game 4. He screwed it up. And then in this game, Julio Rios, the young kid, finished it out and did so in Game 7. So props to Dave Roberts.
Well, Kershaw craps his pants. Don't get yourself all excited about Dave Roberts as a manager. He sucks. They won a World Series despite Dave Roberts. He's not a good manager. In fact, Dave Roberts would be a better manager if they let the iPad make the calls for him, or if they took the choices out of his hands. I would not want Dave Roberts as my manager. No way. Oh, my God. There's a stat that says that if you let Snell in there, his ERA goes up.
That's when I tune out.
Did you watch the game? Do you have a set of eyeballs? You were gifted a set of eyeballs on this earth, most of us.
Yeah, Cam Newton's not great.
Most of us are fortunate enough to have been able to witness what it is we witnessed last night and know, if you've got any sort of functioning brain, that Blake Snell shouldn't have come out of the game.
Oh, but the ERA goes up, guys. Oh, third time. The computer says Carmine says three times through the order. That's a batting average as an OPS goes up.
What?
Second best
Blake
player in baseball said they blew it.
Dealing, you stupid nerd.
The second
what
best player in baseball
about?
Said it was a breath of fresh air when they took him out. Oh.
Well, but the odds say he won't strike them out six times again. He's done six strikeouts to this point, but there's no more striking out. They're going to give up big hits now.
Prior to that inning, he had let two balls out of the infield, a single and a fly ball. He struck out nine guys. He was on fire. God, no, but you got to consider the other side.
No, I don't.
You like Pat. No, Pat. It is a Pat voice.
He does that good.
And that's good. That's good because you can sit there and talk about your ERA increases after the third time through and after X amount of pitches. And an 873, by the way. You're not going to sell me on that one. And you can have the game. You can have it, all six of you that want it to be played this way. And you won't have your revenue or your money, and it will then just die out. Because that is not a product that anyone is going to give a damn about. And you're going to lose it all. So go ahead. Keep going that way. Keep doing what you're doing, baseball. Seems to be working out great for you right now. I think you guys are crushing it.
By the way, Beetle, I just got an email from Billy the Lupa, who was caddying for Rob Manfred last week.
Yeah.
And said he can call in.
Was his speech.
I said we need to know if he had lazy tongue on the golf course last week, too, or if last night was a one-off. So maybe
tell Billy to call.
Yeah, I did. I emailed him back.
Is that guy you did the good interview with?
Yes, that's him.
Wow. It was great.
I was on Saturday going to a job lot. I couldn't even get out of the car.
He was immediately isolated to prevent spread.
Do you think Bruce Arena was watching the World Series last night? He likes baseball. He's a Yankee fan, but he likes baseball.
No, gentlemen.
I want to know what Bruce Arena thinks about the way analytics has crept into the sport and has started to ruin things in sports. Like it did last night in the World Series. Absolutely ruined it. Now we'll talk to him.
Okay.
About everything with his team, too. If they win tonight, playoffs, baby. Let's talk to Bruce Arena next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
How important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You had about almost 2 months without a positive test.
Throwing!
What the hell is this guy doing?
He's not offsides.
No!
Hey, easy, man.
It's okay. Let it go.
Michael, up! Up, Michael, up! Up!
Tight at the one.
Alex, you gotta tuck in, Alex. Alex, up! Move your line together.
Revs head coach and sporting director Bruce Arena mic'd up. Right, so?
Yeah.
You're the one that alerted us to that video.
Yep, it was on NBC Sports Boston. Yep.
The man himself, Bruce Arena's on the line, the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hey, coach, what's going on?
Good, man. How are you today?
Uh-oh, we got a little... Try speaking
Hold
again.
On.
We got a
little... let's try and reset the line there
reset
for
it.
A second.
Okay.
Let's see if we can...
You got it?
Let the connection, you know, reconnect, settle.
Is that
cool off the lines a little bit?
Oh, I do. Okay.
Yeah.
Technically.
And we'll try that again. Let's see if we can hear you now. Bruce,
okay,
you there?
Okay, man.
There we go. Yeah. There we
can
go.
You hear me? Great. Okay.
Do you swear more when you're not mic'd up? Are you a cursor?
Did I swear much when I was mic'd up?
A little bit.
No, but I'm saying, like, when you aren't mic'd up, are you, like, let it fly more? Because, like, when you're mic'd up.
We're stupid, foolish men around the office and the locker room and all. You know, we throw out a few words that you shouldn't use.
Oh, we could never be mic'd up here. The behind the scenes look at this particular office and this group right here on this show. Ooh, that would be an ugly scene. A lot of editing to do.
Pretty much suckers at the end of every word we use. Yeah,
we might have you beat in my office, but I won't make any guarantees.
All right, so you've gotten us twice so far this season. When Lee Wynn returned to the team, you said, yeah, it might be back in another week or so. He played 3 days later. Last week when we talked to you, said, yeah, Carlos Heel, another week or so. Friday night, he got in against Nashville. So who might be coming back next week that will end up playing tonight?
Well, it's not Gustavo Bowe. Okay. I can tell you that.
All right. So Bowe's going to play tonight. All right.
No, he's not. Not tonight.
All right.
No.
That's breaking.
But he'll be back. He'll be back soon. Hopefully very soon.
How excited are you when he does make it back to having all three designated players on the field with the playoffs coming up? And you haven't had a ton of all three players out there together.
Yeah, it's certainly going to help. We're playing in tight games. We need some individual flair at times to beat some of these packed defenses we're playing against. And bringing Gustavo back with Carlos is certainly going to help us.
Does it make you nervous in games like when the weather starts to affect you? And I know you got delayed down in Nashville, and the field was quite soggy and wet when you got guys coming off surgery, off injury. Do you have to watch them a little bit more closely and maybe not play them as much?
Well, there are some concerns, but you know we felt that Carlos is going to be fine, and you know we limited his minutes. That'll be the case with Gustavo when he returns as well. But, you know, for the most part, in our sport, we don't concern ourselves that much about the field conditions with players returning from injury.
With Carlos, if you had to put it at a percentage where his health is at right now, what would you say it is?
Well, he's very healthy. He's injury-free. His fitness level is getting there. He's probably 75-80% of what he's going to be like in a couple of weeks. But he's getting there.
He's well ahead of schedule on that. I mean, are you surprised that he's at least a month returning now, you know, before the 3 to 5 month window there? Does that come as a shock to you?
Yes and no. His surgery was removing a bone spur on his Achilles tendon. Oh. And, you know, the issue with the surgery was how big is the bone spur? And you really don't know till you get in there. And how tightly is it connected to the tendon? And do you have to touch the tendon at all? And it was a delicate surgery, and they weren't that invasive, and that allowed him to come back a lot sooner. And he works really hard. He's a very fit athlete, and he has a great work ethic, and you know he cut down his recovery time for sure.
Yeah, that still sounds terrible, though. I mean, just the sound of that.
Yeah.
Brutal. Right now, after there was one of the results last night with Nashville and Montreal, all you need is a point to clinch a playoff spot. A top four finish is a realistic thing. It's within reach with three games left.
Fourth is a possibility. It would probably require us to earn, I think, 6 or 7 points in the last three games. For sure, we want to finish in the top six because that allows us to miss a midweek game. They'll have play-in games midweek. So we want to finish 4, 5, or 6. So hopefully we can get a win tonight, and that'll put us in a great position to do that.
So how much of a focus is that, the seeding? I mean, you're just focused on getting in at this point, or are you worried about seeding at all?
No, getting in no more is the goal for the Revolution. We don't think that that's something we should hang our hats on. We want to be a successful franchise, and making the playoffs isn't good enough. You know, we want to get in the playoffs and we want to start winning some games. So we want to push this team to a higher level than it's been at over the last 5 years or so. And I think we're on our way there, but we've got to do better. We can't just be happy making the playoffs.
You want to ask him? I know I've got one more for him, but your analytics question.
Oh, I definitely do.
Yeah.
Did you watch the World Series at all last night?
I did not. I was actually hoping for a game 7, and I was foolishly watching a soccer game.
Well,
I watched a little bit of the World Series game. It was 1-0 when I went to bed, and I was hoping Tampa Bay would win because I think a 7th game in the World Series.
Well, they would have if they left their pitcher.
Well, they could have won, but they yanked Blake Snell out of the game when he was absolutely dealing last night, and it's because of analytics.
Did he throw 100 pitches, one of those things?
No,
again?
He threw 73 pitches. Yeah. He had given up two hits out of the infield. Not even hits. Two baseballs left the infield. One was a pop-up, one was a single. He had been dealing all night, 9 strikeouts through 5. He gets the first out of the 6th, and the lineup was coming through again,
and he had struck out the first three batters of the lineup, each of the guys, the first three, twice, six strikeouts, and they didn't want him to face him again. Crazy.
Well, you know, these analytics and metrics in sports today are crazy. You know, if I went by the recommendations of people, we wouldn't be playing a lot of players tonight. They keep telling us we have too many miles on these players. They got to have a break. And, you know, what they can't read is the mentality of the athletes. We have athletes that can play whenever they have to play because they're tough mentally. And I believe in a World Series, if you got a pitcher, and again, listen, what the hell do I know about managing a baseball team? But guys mentally are really strong, and the real elite athletes overcome any of this kind of data. And that's what I believe. And tonight we're going to play some guys that in theory are tired.
I love
it. Great.
You answer my question before I even ask it.
Perfect answer.
Yeah.
Great.
But, perfect hopefully answer. They perform. And then you have all excuses at the end. He didn't do well because he's
tired.
You know, he's been overloaded.
Of course, Brooks didn't score. Yeah, he's been playing too much. Yeah, give him a rest now.
The other team has players in the same position. So I think who's ever more determined, mentally right, team plays well, you can overcome some of these issues. Maybe you can throw more than 74 pitches when you're in a World Series. You know, I'm old-fashioned in that thing.
Especially when you're out there and you're just on top of your game. It wasn't like he had fallen apart. It was just, this is the time we want to remove
you. Wasn't in trouble.
Right, and you have 4 months off after that game.
Yeah.
It's not like you got to have to get ready for another game.
All right, Coach, good luck tonight.
Thanks, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
All right, Bruce Arena with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
Bottle analytics guy. I like that.
Great as always.
Baseball, like doing this, coming down. Soccer going up. Starting to make that. Yeah.
Billy the Loop is on the line. We're going to talk to him about Rob Manfred. He was with him last week. We'll do that in 90 seconds.
This is Distributor.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.